each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey everybody, and welcome, Tony.
I am here.
Christina,
she's on her way.
I saw you guys, and so we're in the second day of Lent. How was you weren't at the Mass last night.
No.
You were in the Mass in the morning.
Yeah.
Just amazed at the number of people.
That's good. That's, Angelica was telling me there was a lot of people. That's great.
Just a beautiful.
I say, I almost wish if I was not working, I would have been there.
Yeah. No, it was, in fact, we had the morning Mass.
Mm-hmm.
We had a nice turnout there.
Which was beautiful, too.
It was nice.
In a way, because I've not, I kept thinking of Jerry, because Jerry would always, she would go to the Masses and she'd always, you know, comment on the kids and how nice the kids were.
Right.
But just for me seeing that for, you know, it's been a while. It just took me back to even my days.
They're good, aren't they? The kids
Everybody was so nice, orderly.
Yeah. Yeah, they know to come in silence. They leave in silence. And
but I hate to say it. I remember more kids. It was kind of sad. I was looking and thinking,
sure.
Okay, it's the kids' Mass. Okay, everybody's going to be there. It's going to be full. But I just didn't realize how it's really a lot.
Well, it's not like your day, right?
Right, And even my day wasn't really that much, but I even like when we have the light ceremony and you see that the seventh graders give over to the eighth graders, you know, seeing so few kids,
there's 163 students.
Wow.
So I'm assuming they were all there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like years ago when when I was at St. Hyacinth, we had 700 students.
Wow.
And I think when you were in the school, how many?
I think it was more than that. Well, more than what we have now.
Oh, sure. There's no doubt about it. Yeah.
I guess maybe I was thinking of like high school. High school was a lot more kids.
Right.
You notice there's a full church.
Yeah. Where's Christina?
She was talking to somebody. She got a call.
So I wanted to ask about the, first of all, let's go ahead and, these are two articles I just read just within the last 30 minutes. And I say this because this is, we're in a penitential season, and this is, perhaps we're picking up where we left off the other day, but do we really understand the necessity, the need for penance, the need for reparation, the need for prayer and for fast and for charity, mm-hmm. almsgiving, charity. Maybe that's a question. How seriously do we take the season of Lent? And I want to also, I think we probably do this every year, but go back to just raise a question again, why so many people come on Ash Wednesday, and I'm not complaining. I'm extremely, it's a moving experience for me, but still it begs the question as to why? Because I see so many people I normally wouldn't see, and a lot of new faces as well.
See, I hate to say that I love a full church, but then I think those people for Christmas and for Ash Wednesday, and then you never see them anymore. For Easter, same thing.
Personally, I would prefer them. Let's say if they miss Ash Wednesday, but if they come the whole year, that's even better.
Yeah. But it begs the question as to why. And as I say, I think we probably address this every year. But It
or they're getting something for, you know,
well,
like,
I don't
you know,
know.
Like Palm Sunday?
Yeah, but
I got to get those palms. Or I, you know, a lot of people, because I've talked to people, even in my own family, like those that don't practice the faith, they think that, oh, I have to get those ashes because they have this thing in their mind that, oh, that's going to do it. A lot of them.
Okay, but in what way?
That's what they, in their mind.
I hear you, but in what way? What's it going to do?
Well, they think that that's what's going to get them
save them.
A lot of people, honestly, Father, because they don't know their faith, they think, oh, those ashes, that it's like magic, you know?
Yeah, maybe.
But I think the ashes, it's a reminder. Okay, you're into dust you shall return. To me, and again, I guess I take it for granted because for me, it's a part of my life. I would never think of not going every day to church if I could. You know, it's like, so when I think of, sure, this is my remembrance that I will die and we're going one way. We should be going all the, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
Lead me to my Lord.
Yeah.
But then I think of the people that, okay, it's like, okay, I got to go out. I'll make the 7 o'clock mass at night.
And that's not even the mass because they're like, what time are ashes? They're not even asking what time is the service or the mass. No. When are you giving out ashes? That's the question.
Yeah. Yeah, because you get the phone calls.
Yeah, and it's like, to me, well, because we participate, where that's part of our lives. But those who it's not part of their lives, they just.
but yet, there's something.
I just wish they would.
No, I do too. Believe me,
it would be nice better if they would come the whole year and miss Ash Wednesday. Well, you know.
Yeah,
because it is, but it was interesting for me. I had the ashes on my forehead, and I guess I really wasn't aware of this until later on in the night when I, you know, because I've been trying to, you know, review today and, you know, what did I do bad? What did I do good? But these ashes on my head for yesterday, it was just a source of me telling my faith.
Sure. Yeah. Mm.
And it was just interesting. I never paid attention to that. First, one guy asked me, oh, well, you got dirt on your head. Right. I don't know if you noticed that. And that's always the thing to, but we had a conversation about the faith, about, you know, what church I go to. And, oh yeah, I was, you know, the guy that was telling me, oh yeah, I was a Catholic. And then I was this and I was that, but we had a conversation. And it was interesting too, because when I got to work and I could see this because I'm the second shift, so most people are there for the day. There was nobody. I was the only one with the ashes. And it's almost like, and I walked this way. I said to myself, I would be silent until somebody, you know, asked me. Mm-hmm. The second conversation was, "Hey, what do you got in your, you know, on your head?" And I, "Oh, it's ashes. Oh, today's Ash Wednesday. Oh, I gotta try to get to mass."
Sure.
So it's like all day, even till the end of the day. And it was the lady, the clean lady, who comes in at the end of the day. We were the only ones with ashes, and it was that. We had that conversation. We know, okay, this is Ash Wednesday. We're all going the same way.
Right.
So I thought that was really nice.
So I have this sense that it's a little bit deeper than just the magic.
It's just that people don't know their faith.
Well, of course they don't know their faith
because they just want, like my brother. My brother never, both of them, they never go to church. And, you know my brother's father. Yeah, and I think my brother was like, oh, Ash Wednesday. And I'm like.
Yeah, got to get there.
Got to get
there,
that Ash.
He was there.
See? That's what I'm saying. And it pains me. And I'm not saying that I'm better than that. It's just, it's not even about, it's about
but could it
searching,
be,
searching I, for God.
Sure.
Always putting him in the center.
I hear you, yeah. I'm with you in that. But could it be that they know deep down. See, I always go back to the truth, and the truth is that we've been created by God for God, right? God first in all things. That's the first rule of life. I think we spoke about that on Tuesday. We come from God, we go to God, and God we live. We should live. We're made by God for God. The law of God is written into our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
So as much as we want to deny it, deep down we know, right from wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps that's why, even in this time in which we live where things have been so watered down, there's this hostility still against the church and her teachings, mm-hmm. even though, yeah. you know, you get the impression that most of the priests and the bishops are out there. They've mm-hmm. gone astray, you know, if you just follow the kind of media I follow, which isn't the case, although there's too many, you know, and none of us are perfect. But I want to believe that they come as if to say, okay, I know that I'm not living the way mm-hmm. I'm supposed to live. I'm steeped in sin, even though they won't call it that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But at least I'm here to say or to acknowledge. Because what does the priest say? But remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Turn away from sin and be faithful to the gospel. I do both those. I mean, sure. You can do one or the other.
Yeah.
I do both because it just takes one second
more. Yeah.
So I say, remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. In other words, you're going to die. You're not going to be here forever. And yes, turn away from sin, be faithful to the gospel. So my hope is, and that's why I'm at least glad that they're there, that people come, because it's a way of at least once a year. Because to be honest, more people come on Ash Wednesday than even on Christmas and Easter.
Yeah,
people come for more on Ash Wednesday more than even Palm Sunday.
More than Palm Sunday.
Yeah.
The only thing I do have a, it's like I remember that one, and I saw people, cars pulling up just to get the ashes, and they would come in and then they left. Mm-hmm. But I remember that one year these gangbangers came and got their ashes, and then right after that they were on the street gangbanging.
Like, well, yeah.
That's just.
I mean, I know. I know, I get it. Just, I that bothers me as well.
It bothers me, and again, I don't think because we all have our issues and all that, but it's just because they don't know.
I mean,
if it is
about something magical that this is somehow
and people do
magic or superstition,
mm-hmm.
I suspect that is for some people,
yeah.
But I still want to believe that. Well, I'll tell you, you know, if that's the case too, then. It begs a question, and I've heard this from many people and priests,
mm-hmm.
that we seem to be so intent on diminishing the supernatural aspect of our faith.
Oh, sure.
So that even the Holy Mass, the sacred liturgy, the Holy Sacrifice, that vertical mm-hmm. aspect, as opposed to the horizontal, because the horizontal would be the, you know, that we're in relationship one to another. So it's the people,
sure.
the assembly that's gathered there, and if our emphasis is just on, you know, forming this community, mm-hmm. that gets into the whole kumbaya kind of a thing,
sure.
and where we in it, you know, we got to entertain, we got to make this a nice experience, we got to feel like we're that's superficial, and that can happen in many different venues, you know, it doesn't have. What's primary in Catholic worship is the vertical, is that all things are directed through Christ to the Father, and so we're making this appeal, as it were, through Christ to God the Father, the offering of our lives, and if we really understand that every Mass is, in some ways, a kind of Ash Wednesday,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
insofar as we acknowledge we're sinners, we say, "What Lord, have mercy," right? Kyrie eleison in the Greek, "Lord, have mercy." I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. How often during the Mass do we acknowledge that reality? Certainly when we pray the Our Father. I mean, it's there in the canon of the Mass, the, you know, putting things in the right place, God, who God is, and we, the creature. And then, of course, before we even receive Jesus in Holy Communion, we acknowledge that we're not worthy, right? Mm-hmm. So, in every Mass is a call to turn away from sin, be faithful to the gospel. Every sacred liturgy is acknowledging that we're on the way, we're mm-hmm. in the journey, we're pilgrims in the battle. Every Holy Mass is an anticipation of the coming of Christ, the end of all things. So in that sense, you know, even I think Pope Leo, I was reading the commentary yesterday in the Liturgy of the Hours. When you think about it, even that was written back in the fourth or fifth century. And already he speaks about this, keeping this ancient tradition, mm-hmm. observing the season of Lent as it's come to us from the apostles. That's what he says. But that we don't assume that this is just during these 40 days, but this is part of the mm-hmm. whole lifelong journey, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. right? Just as much as Advent is anticipating the coming of Christ, it's every Mass is this anticipation. So I guess the point is, my hope is that deep down, or the people that come, that they know that they're living. They're not living in a right way.
They know, and you said so often, it's hard because they don't want to, the discipline.
The discipline of the faith. Yeah. It boils just down to that. I'm so convinced of that.
That's what it is, Father. They know. And I've heard people, like somebody that I know that their family member's a priest. And it's like they're not living the faith. And they know it. Yeah. They say it themselves when they talk to me. I don't bring it up. They bring it up.
Right, right.
And they say, I know. Right. I'm not.
It's interesting. If people say that they know,
then do something.
But my thing is, it's a mystery, and it always will be for me. But even, I think people that do that, I guess it's a good thing you at least know there is a right way. It's just that when do you accept the call?
So, okay, that's a good question. Mm-hmm. That's a good question. Mm-hmm. Because going back to what Christina was saying, and this is so true, we are sinners.
Right. Yeah.
And this is countercultural to say that, but this is a fact. This is a truth. And so even to talk about this, you know, people might say, who do you think? You know, you guys are, you're the holy rollers or you're the hippie, you know.
And look at you.
If I go to church, you know, it's going to...
They've told me that, Father. Oh, you somebody years ago, and I said, the reason I go is because I need help.
Right.
Because I'm really screwed up.
Right.
That's the reason.
Right. You humbly say that. You humbly acknowledge that because it's true about you.
And it is. I know.
And it's
I'm gonna lie.
And it's true about me and about all of us.
But I keep saying it. That's why you need the example, and we are all example. And I think about that even with the ashes on my head. Mm-hmm. I'm not walking around saying I'm better than all of you that didn't go. But you look at me and you say, why does he have that on his head? And it's a reminder to people that know why, but it's also a question. And that's why I felt, for me, it was evangelization. It was just talk. And part of what I was doing for Lent, I was telling this to Christina, is I was trying to not talking, idle conversation, just being there. But at that moment, it's like something welled in me. It's like you could not speak about it.
So that's a good question, too. And we're going to take a break here in a second, but... somebody had asked me the other day, how do I really witness to Christ in the workplace when you're not even allowed to speak about Christ? And I don't even, and they says, I don't, and do I even know how to speak about Christ? That's a question. But before we go into the break, and just, these two articles I read, I'm just going to give you the just a couple of sentences on each one of them. But it says to me that, you know, that really it's not just our own personal need for God and our own personal acknowledging that we are sinners, and this reminder that we are on the way and that we're not going to be here forever. Remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. But thanks be to God through Jesus. You know, we trust. We have this intuitive a truth within us that, you know, life goes on, but we have to, but we will stand in judgment. You know, God will mm-hmm. judge.
Mm-hmm.
He's merciful, but he's just as well. And so I dare say that this is soft Catholicism when we don't speak about God's reproach, mm-hmm. his chastisement, his rebuke, because we want to believe that, you know, so God is love, and so it's I can do whatever I want.
Right.
And, but okay, so take it beyond the person to what's happening in the society and how we've just accepted ways of living, speaking that are completely contrary to the faith. It completely goes contrary to the commandments of God, to the time-tested and tried traditions, moral traditions of the church, grounded in sacred scripture, in the teachings of the church, the attack on the faith, the attack on the family. So I just read today, and it just, when I read these things, I just cringe because, well, the first one, sisters, two blood mm-hmm. sisters, killed their father. In the title is in a perfect murder plot, then covered it up for years. And the only way it was discovered is that they were both having sex with the same man who knew what they had done. You know, so wow. This is the gist of the article, is the murder, but at the same time that they're both having a sexual relationship with this man who knew this. I mean,
they did it.
Yeah. Okay, so that's, I mean, you read that and you think, crazy. Is that bizarre or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the way around. I mean, and it's just, if you read the whole thing, it's just right. It just turns your stomach. Mm-hmm. Is there no conscience in the society, in the world today? This other one, and this is happening here as well, but it bothers me to no end. Now, eventually it's going to be, I'm going to be committing an offense. This will be against the law to speak as I'm going to speak now, just something as soft as this. But I was reading today, school stops LGBT lessons after backlash from angry Muslim parents. Okay, so what's the bad thing here? The school, this is in Great Britain, in England, they're doing what they're doing here and in Canada and other parts of the world where they celebrate or teach the lifestyle, LGBT lifestyles being taught in the classrooms. This is the mm-hmm. the article.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So 600 Muslims or parents took their 600 of the students were taken out of the school, the Muslims, in protest against this.
Mm-hmm.
You see, now would we do that? We should.
Exactly.
And
we
if
should.
We would.
We, if we would.
They wouldn't even bother. They wouldn't. They would say, "Oh well,
we
if
would
you don't,
be
it's
bigots.
Our problem." It's
just, yeah, yeah, you right. don't like it. Well, tough luck.
Right. But that's. But you get that's the.
I see, yeah.
That's how screwed up this society
yeah, yeah.
is.
Wow.
Yep.
You know. Anyway, we got to take a break. We'll come back. But anyway, it when I just was after I read that, and I've been thinking about this as we've come into Lent, how the need for penance, the need for prayer, the need for fasting, the need for charity, the wanting to set things right with God, because if we don't. If we don't make reparation now, there'll be a point when it's going to be too late.
Yeah.
And do we even believe that? Do we even accept that as a given in our teaching? Strictly speaking from the sacred scripture, even the readings that we read. And yet I hear and I read and I read people high up in the church who try to water this down.
Yeah.
In other words, the emphasis has to be on the love of God and God's mercy. Absolutely, we have to emphasize, but if it's not balanced with God's justice, and that there is, you see, people they have this idea, or they try to make people believe that chastisement, punishment, retribution, reproach is something that happens only in the Old Testament. But Jesus spoke about it, and the epistles speak about it. We just live in a strange time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stan's School has an amazing PK3 through 8th grade program, focused on leadership and social-emotional learning, and is one of the only schools to implement the Reading and Writing Project of Columbia University and the University of Chicago. Everyday math across the board, PK3 through 8th, is taught by our highly educated and dedicated teachers. St. Stan's students are academically challenged with advanced-level placement opportunities as their test scores and high school admissions speak volumes. St. Stan's is an integral part of the Wicker Park community, where you feel welcome and at home with other families and friends who enjoy the same warm, friendly, and safe atmosphere for their children. We have small classroom size, which makes a difference in the whole learning experience. Many schools have excellent programs. At St. Stan's, we empower students to be excellent. Join the St. Stan's family. It is a selective admissions process. Grades 1 through 8 are tested and interviewed. Call 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. Or stop by at 1255 North Noble Street. That's one block north of Division, just off the Kennedy. More information at ststandschicago.org. That's ststandschicago.org.
The Winds of Change. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. And on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Every parent has a dream of giving their children a great education and great faith. St. Stanislaus Kostka School, a nationally acclaimed Catholic leadership school, has made the dream easier for you to achieve. Here, leadership principles and lessons are an integral part of your child's coursework and school culture. Your child will study foreign languages, such as Mandarin, conduct experiments in real science labs, attend Eucharistic adoration, and more. Don't worry about affording a private education. St. Stanislaus Kostka School offers full tuition scholarships for kindergarten through 8th grade. Send your child to St. Stanislaus Kostka School, located just minutes from downtown Chicago. Dreams can come true, but you need to call today, 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. 773-278-4560.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So we're just talking about the... I just say, I look around and I say, if we don't have... If there is... If we don't recognize the need for penance, that we, the blessed, we talked about this on Tuesday, and I think I mentioned it last night at the Mass as well, and I'll do it again, but in all the apparitions of the Blessed Virgin Mary over the last, 200 years, mm-hmm. she always comes with a message, repeats over and over, penance, 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 conversion, the conversion of sinners. And this is the gospel message. Peter, the apostle, on Pentecost, when he's preaching, I believe in the temple precincts, and there were 500 or mm-hmm. plus, I don't remember. There's just this multitude of people, and they were begging, what must we do? What should we do? And he simply said, repent, repent, repent. So. we have to recognize, understand that there's a need for repentance. Something has gone awry. It goes back to what you were saying, Christina. I say it all the time, but people don't want the discipline mm-hmm. of the faith, pure and simple. This is the bottom line. Most people don't want the discipline of the faith. Increasingly, people want basically to do whatever they want to do, and if it goes against the natural law, the natural order of things, deep down they know it, mm-hmm. or maybe they don't have the humility to recognize the disorder or the sickness that it is, especially in the area of sexuality. You know, this mm-hmm. is why the focus on sexuality, I've said this over and over, it's society's obsession. Mm-hmm. Society's obsession, not the church's obsession. But when you begin to toy with the lives of the children mm-hmm. on multiple levels, or this indoctrination is coming by way of the media to diminish the sanctity of marriage, the sanctity of the marital bed, the sanctity of the family, the sanctity of life, when this is denigrated, diminished, attacked, and a way of thinking, lifestyle, contrary to that, is lifted up and celebrated as a great good that either you celebrate this or you're the bigoted, hateful. I mean, even to speak about that sexuality is the privilege or has its rightful place, its moral place within the context of a covenant, a marital covenant, and anything outside that covenant of marriage is grave sin. I mean, you hear me say that, then you look around, you get the point, you know? Mm-hmm. And we succumb to this because it's an indoctrination that's been happening already for so long, for decades, for a long time. Mm-hmm. How do you counter that? And then when the church, and I say this, remember, we have to keep in mind always that the church is the mystical body, and it is a much bigger reality than those who are right now in the here and the now of this life on the journey. So we occupy a little bit of time in history. So we're just really even if you take 1.3 billion Catholics, all practicing the faith with a great sensitivity to God and all things sacred and a sensitivity to sin. First of all, if you had 1.3 billion Catholics living in such a way, then there would be a major transformation for the good in the world, wouldn't there be? And yet, as we've acknowledged, and as we acknowledge every time we enter into the sacred mysteries, into the Mass, we are sinners. But to lose that sensitivity to sin, or to participate in the sacred mysteries and know that I'm living a duplicitous life, it's one thing to struggle, but it's another thing to just, in a flippant way, live duplicity of life. I guess if you're, in a flippant way, living a way contrary to the gospel, contrary to the moral code of the church, then it's not, in your mind, duplicitous, because it would be acceptable, okay, and normal, or at least if it's not normal, will normalize. And this is not just related to, this is across the board. And where does it stop? You know, I was reading this morning, I forgot where it was too, you know, that two cousins, first cousins, are, it's before the law that they can legally get married. Mm-hmm. So Where does it stop? I mean, that's one thing. And I don't even know if it's two women or two men or a woman and a man. I don't know, but they're two cousins. Okay, so, but why, if we can say that we can easily, and we've done this quite easily, redefined marriage, and I keep adding letters to the... I don't even know what all this means. I just don't put a lot of attention to it. It's just I just read these things and I hear these things and it just says, my gosh, is this not something wrong with this? There's something wrong here. But why not a polygamy? Why not? Where does it end? We're just very casual, very casual about these things. And so if it's happening in the schools, our people, Christian people, Catholic people, it's like water off our back. We're not going to, so be it. But do I want my children indoctrinated? Do I want them to be taught a way of thinking, a way of living that is contrary to my faith, to what God has ordained, what's been handed down to us, what serves the proper ordering of society? Is this the way we're going to go? If it is, then what is God's response to all this?
Yes, that's what worries me, because there will be a response.
But see, if we don't believe there's going to be a response, if we just believe that, and as I've said this, I remember I had sent a letter. I may have spoken about this as well, but it happened to be one Sunday, and the reading the gospel was the wedding feast in Cana of Galilee, and it was right during that time when they were making laws to redefine marriage, and so I made a case for the church's position, and that it's not about hating gays or lesbians, or it's about safeguarding and protecting the holy state of marriage and family, and it's about being honest and true to the natural order of things as God has revealed himself in history, and it's all there in Sacred Scripture. It's a nuptial, right. God wedded to his body the church, or the people of God. And I got the biggest backlash. And, actually, people said, you're on the wrong side of history, and it's about love. It's about love. But see, everything is about what we feel. It's like we don't reason things out anymore.
And they don't even know what true love is. That's not love. That's called lust. That's not love.
Well, you got to make that distinction between lust and love, right?
Yeah.
Love in Christianity, yeah. In the church, certainly in the Catholic Church, love is, by its very nature, true love is sacrificial.
Sacrificial.
And it goes well beyond marriage and sexuality, that I've got to look at the bigger picture. I was reading somewhere too that we live in the here and now of our time, but we're not even thinking anymore about what are the consequences. Yeah. And again, you take the what was this? It's read in Canada. This is a weird thing too. That a 14-year-old girl or boy, I don't remember if it's male or female, but wants to transition into the other sex. And so the courts, now the parents are going to a divorce, but the courts have override the parents, allowing the child to choose and to undergo this surgery.
14 years old.
Yeah. And the father is protesting, but he's not going to win out, it seems.
It's interesting. All you need to do is look to the other, like Canada or places, outside, that these laws and these things are coming to a head where you're not thinking about the full ramifications. And it's like, it's just really interesting how you hear these odd things like this, and it's like, what is the right thing to do?
So, you know, the Methodist Church, last week, mm-hmm. the leadership, I guess they have the Methodist Conference or whatever, and they uphold the traditional biblical understanding of sexuality, and they do not permit, or they will not permit, active mm-hmm. LGBT into their ordained ministry. Mm-hmm. Now, they're not it's a Protestant church. They're not it's a denominational church. It's not so universal as Catholicism, but it is universal. It is all over the world, and they know that they've got to deal with Africa and other parts of the world, but as in this article I read, especially, it was the Africans who, you know, this is, you get to think of the entire body, mm-hmm. the mm-hmm. entire body of the church, not just your own
right.
neck of the woods.
Yeah.
But the protest on the part of the LGBT community within mm-hmm. the Methodist Church has been really powerful, very strong, and it just, how do you counter that?
Mm. And
how
yet,
do you counter
and
that?
And yet in London, you just said, or was it Britain?
England.
Yeah, England, where they, when the Muslims were protesting, the LGBT didn't protest back, did they?
They did not. No,
they did not.
They
That's
did not.
Going not back
that
to
I
that.
Read. No.
They,
you know,
it tells you a lot.
Interesting.
That's
interesting. Yeah.
It tells you a lot. I'm not surprised, but.
But that's one issue among many issues,
right.
And we don't talk about this a lot, but mm-hmm. I bring it up because it's in your face.
Right. Yeah.
It's in your face, and I don't like it in my face mm-hmm. because I see it as, I mean, if I had my own children, but the fact is I have to lead.
Right.
Children,
children,
you know,
yeah.
I've got a responsibility. You call me father, and mm-hmm. I have this responsibility, and I'm not going to, you know, when you know, you just intuitively know that this is not right. Intuitively you know that. Mm-hmm. But then you've got to back up your own intuition, biblical teaching, church teaching, and yet you've got the prelates in the church who seem to want to, again, we're going to accommodate, we're going to...
Right.
Compromise. We're gonna because we don't want to make. We don't want people to feel that they're not welcome. Well, everybody, you know, it's not about you know. People are. Again, it goes back to the Ash Wednesday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Our doors aren't closed to anybody. The doors are open,
mm-hmm.
but we have to. What do we? We all come. We should all come in humility. And Jesus Christ, Son of the Living God, have mercy on me. A poor sinner. I mean, really, really deeply acknowledge that we are sinners and that we have disorder in our lives and that we have a responsibility beyond ourselves, beyond our family, beyond our community, but we have a responsibility to the history of the history of this world. And it's about salvation.
Mm-hmm.
We got to take a break. Be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen, Support, Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Every parent has a dream of giving their children a great education and great faith. St. Stanislaus Kostka School, a nationally acclaimed Catholic leadership school, has made the dream easier for you to achieve. Here, leadership principles and lessons are an integral part of your child's coursework and school culture. Your child will study foreign languages, such as Mandarin, conduct experiments in real science labs, attend Eucharistic adoration, and more. Don't worry about affording a private education. St. Stanislaus Kostka School offers full tuition scholarships for kindergarten through 8th grade. Send your child to St. Stanislaus Kostka School. Located just minutes from downtown Chicago, dreams can come true. But you need to call today, 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. 773-278-4560.
The Winds of Change
on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the divine mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing. St. Stan's School has an amazing PK 3 through 8th grade program focused on leadership and social-emotional learning, and is one of the only schools to implement the Reading and Writing Project of Columbia University and the University of Chicago. Everyday math across the board, PK 3 through 8th, is taught by our highly educated and dedicated teachers. St. Stan's students are academically challenged with advanced level placement opportunities as their test scores and high school admissions speak volumes. St. Stan's is an integral part of the Wicker Park community, where you feel welcome and at home with other families and friends who enjoy the same warm, friendly, and safe atmosphere for their children. We have small classroom size, which makes a difference in the whole learning experience. Many schools have excellent programs. At St. Stan's, we empower students to be excellent. Join the St. Stan's family. It is a selective admissions process. Grades 1 through 8 are tested and interviewed. Call 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. Or stop by at 1255 North Noble Street. That's 1 block north of Division, just off the Kennedy. More information at ststanschicago.org. That's ststanschicago.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So let me, we've only got about a little over 10 minutes, but so the point is we're in the season of Lent. It's a penitential season, which means that we do penance. How do you translate penance? Well, it's there's a 3 components to penance: prayer, fasting, and charity. Do we understand? Do we feel the need for this? I certainly do. This is an article that I took out this morning. I thought, boy, it just puts things in perspective. But this is from Father Hardin. God rest his soul. But I had made a private retreat with him in Detroit many, many years ago. But he has writes about the 7 rules of penance. But before he gets into that, he quotes Jesus, who says, "Unless you do penance, you shall all likewise perish." So there's from the lips of Jesus, the need to do penance. Sin requires penance. It is divine law. We have a duty to do penance. Sin requires penance. All of us have sinned. The just man sins 7 times a day, as the Bible says. Why does God want it? And Father Hardin says, it's because in his mysterious wisdom, his justice requires it. God has no choice. Having given us a free will, if we abuse liberty, we must use our freedom to repay God the love we have stolen from him and repair the damage we have done. Because the love we have stolen from him, because if God is not first, then we're guilty of a kind of idolatry. And if we're in right relationship with God, we'll be in right relationship with others. And that means that we're bound to the law, which means we've all got to make sacrifice. So, as I mentioned, on Pentecost Sunday, when Peter preached his first sermon, he rebuked the people for their sins. And they said, what must we do? And he said, repent. As I mentioned, and he, actually, I had mentioned this before I even read this, and I see he makes a note of this as well. Our Lady of Fatima, her message to a sinful world in our day, do penance. Penance, penance, penance. He says the calamities that we've so far seen in this present century, and this is the past century, two world wars with more casualties than in all the previous wars of history, the threat of a nuclear holocaust that hangs over us like a tornado cloud, all of this is God's warning to do penance and reparation. And why? Because God is not mocked. He's not mocked. You do not offend God with impunity. You do not sin without retribution. You do not ignore the will of the Almighty and expect the Almighty to ignore what you do. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is we're so uncomfortable with this today. Don't you think? The church is very uncomfortable with this.
They don't want to hear it.
Right.
And yet it's in the catechism. It's in Scripture.
Yeah. See, it makes you uncomfortable because people want other things. You know what I'm saying?
It's right, just,
it's like, it to me, it's like a red sign, you know, stop sign. You can see it. It's clear.
And they know it's true. And it makes them uncomfortable because they know it's true. Mm-hmm. And they're not.
Well, it goes back. We don't want the discipline of the seed.
Sure.
Right.
We want to follow our own proclivities, whatever they may be, wherever it takes us. You know, and yet we're bound to a law, God's law, God's laws. Mm-hmm. You know, to love the Lord your God with your mind, your body, your soul, and your spirit. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. This is a summation of the Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus goes on to say, love your enemy as well. But love isn't a permissive love. God's love is not a permissive love. Do whatever you want. He permits because he has to respect human freedom.
Mm-hmm.
But if we go against the natural law that's written into our hearts, and see, it's there. If as he goes on to say, he says, the divine logic is simple, awfully simple. All we have to do is learn what God is telling us. Either we do penance and reparation because we want to, or we shall suffer against our will the consequences of our sins in this life and in the life to come. So, penance and reparation are to be done not only for what we have personally done wrong, it is for all the pride and lust, for all the cruelty and greed, for all the envy and laziness and gluttony of a sin-laden human family. We're all connected.
Mm-hmm.
God is merciful. Christ is the incarnation of divine mercy. But God's mercy is conditional. It is conditional on our practice of penance and reparation. And do we not feel the need for that? In my own life, I feel the need for that. Don't you?
Yeah.
So there's seven ways of penance and reparation. Pray, share, forgive. That's penance. This is according to Father Hardin. This is how he breaks it down. Pray, share, forgive. The reparation would be work, endure, deprive, and sacrifice. We'll maybe go into that tomorrow because we're at the end of the hour today. But I just want to, I guess the thing that piqued my interest this morning, as it happens so often, is I was reading something, and again, it was coming from those higher up in the church, and it just was just a way of, okay, we're in Lent, but you know, it's not, God isn't going to reproach, or God isn't, it's not about, you know, we got to go to God for love of God, not because we fear God. But yet, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom.
Yeah.
And this is, we're so dead bent on watering it down. You know, I guess the thing is, let's get away from Catholic light. I think there's a desire because people see what's going on all around us. Mm-hmm. So we want something more. We want something deeper. I spoke with these young people the other night. There was a group of young people, about 12, maybe 12 or 15. They came. They're doing a mission. They're working with the Missionaries of Charity, and we had a. They came to visit the church, and we had a discussion and tried to get a little bit of a sense of where they're at. And they said, you know, quite honestly, they said, in the course of the discussion, because I was very pointed about certain things going on, and how do people, how do the young people, these are university students, how do they think about this or that or whatever? And they said, well, they're kind of oblivious, really, because they're not as tuned into the news as I am, for instance. But they did say that people are searching, and they know that they've been deprived of something. And so there is this, while it may not be the masses, it certainly is not, but there are those who are gravitating toward the faith. They want to know, and they want to know the truth. They don't want, they, in other words, they don't want it to be light, because they know in their own experience, in their own life, they know the harm that's being done. Many of these people are coming from broken families. Parents are divorced. And again, you know, I'm not here to point the finger. We're all in this. We're all affected. But can we humbly, this is, I think, where we have to, and Lent is a collective penitential practice, that we're all in this together. We should take it serious. But that we collectively as a people acknowledge that, you know, we've sinned, that we've really, in a big way, missed the mark, or we've, in a big way, fallen into the seductive, the deception of the enemy, the devil. We've bought into the illusion, and it's not working. It's not working. And deep down, we know why it's not working, because we put God out of the picture, or we redefine God according to our own desires, right? We want to rewrite the laws of God, if even that. So I think I just think people are, it's a silent majority. I think it's a silent majority out there, that, because you can't say too much, because you're going to get you're really going to get you're going to be accused of bigotry or hatred or whatever. I mean, even, and we're out of time now, but even the violence says something about what's happening to our culture, that we've got this lust for violence, this lust for all things of the flesh, violence, sex, this or that or whatever, the drug epidemic in the society, trying to medicate, you know, because we can't deal with reality. Anyway, we'll come back to this tomorrow, but yeah, it's the Lenten heralding the call. It's the call of the Blessed Virgin, penance, that some catastrophe or calamity not befall you. God is saying, wake up. Hey, thanks for being with us. We'll be back tomorrow. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now.